Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Yesterday we started a new chapter, the chapter on the prohibition of deceiving others and deluding others. In other words, ghash here means milawat. Something is not pure. You're mixing something else with it and you're giving the impression that it is pure. For example, a person is selling milk and he's saying it's 100% pure milk. But 50% or 80% of the content of that milk may be water, and he's giving the impression that it's pure cow's milk. In other words, there's nothing added to it. Well, sometimes you'll find a person who'll add to fruit juice all types of ingredients and additives, etc., and market it as 100% pure. So this now is something known as ghash, where you're deceiving a person that's consuming, person that is buying it. So one person is deceiving. And we did the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that explained this very nicely. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once put his hand in a heap of grain in the marketplace, and he found that the inside of the grain was wet and the outside was dry. And we explained that this is considered a fault, that grain that is wet normally is much heavier on the scale. You'll end up paying much more than you'll pay for dry grain. So therefore, this is not something that, and wet grain generally is not seen as something that a person would want to buy. In other words, not your superior quality. So you're keeping the superior quality on the top and the inferior quality inside. So the person that is buying it is getting deceived. So this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained. Man ghashana falaysa minna. That person that deceives us is not from amongst us. Another example of this ghash is to plate. You get gold plate and silver plate. So a person is selling some jewelry that may be gold plated jewelry, or it may be just sprayed to look gold. The person now is marketing it and selling it as pure gold. It's a very low carat value, is giving it as a very high carat value. So it is deceiving the people in terms of the amount of gold that's in that product, in that jewelry, etc. So this is something that is known as deception, something that we are completely prohibited from. In fact, a Muslim is one that is extremely particular. We gave that incident of Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that his partner had sold one cloth from a consignment of cloth, and one cloth was defective, but he took that whole 20,000 dirhams and he gave it in sadaqah. I don't want anything that is doubtful in my system. Allah Pak, give us also that type of iman, is that we want to stay clean, clean. We got the short life in this world. We want to live clean. We want to pass away clean. And we want to raise up on the day of Qiyamah. We want to be raised on the day of Qiyamah as a clean person. Nobody, not a person that would deceive, cheat, and do anything that is, as we say, hanky-panky. Person is very, very clear and straight about what he does. So continuing with this chapter, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تناجشوا متفق عليه. Hazrat Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه narrates that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, do not deceive one another by pretending to purchase merely to raise the price. This hadith is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, Musnad Ahmad and Nasa'i. What would happen is a seller in his shop, he'll appoint somebody that you must just stand here. And when anybody is coming to buy the products, what you do is you give a false pretense that you want to buy the product. So for example, if the product is worth 5 rand, you must give the false pretense that I'm offering 10 rand for this, I'm offering 15 rand for this, I'm offering 20 rand. In the meanwhile, the thing is worth only 5 rand. But because another customer is coming, he doesn't know, he's seeing you offering 15 rand or 20 rand for a product that he's selling for 5 rand, he'll think that that is the normal market rate. And now this person, all he did was he pretended that he's buying it for that price. I got somebody there just to do that, to create a false impression of buying, so that the people that are coming, the buyers that are coming in, they don't know the true value. They think that is a higher value. So I just put somebody there to create a scene. This is known as najash, where a person now creates a false pretense of buying. Or another way that this deception of buying can take place is in a situation of a auction. So somebody wants to bid, and another false pretend bidder is coming there. You got that false pretender or the false bidder to come in just to push the price of the auction up. So every time this person is saying, for example, 100, that person is saying 200. Now he's forced to increase his price. He's saying 300, that person is saying 400. Meanwhile, the person is increasing the price. He got absolutely no intention of buying. He's only put there to increase the price. This is known as najash. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has warned us, la tanajashu, do not deceive. Because this false pretense of increasing the price is a means of deception. It is not permissible because of this deception, and it creates enmity between people. Later when a person finds out that this man was just there to create a front and just to deceive, what will happen? He'll feel very, very upset that this wasn't the right price for me to have paid, but this false pretense that was created, I paid so much more than I ought to have paid. In other words, don't do this also. Don't create and create a false scene. Now this we can explain and understand in many, many different situations. For example, a person wants to sell one product, and he knows this product normally sells for 10 ren, and then he puts their big in a sign there. Normally sells for 100 ren, discounted to 10 ren, or discounted for 20 ren, normally. But what he puts there in first, normally sells for 100 ren, whereas that he normally sells for 10 ren. So now what happens? You're deceiving. Don't do this. Sell the product whatever you want to sell it. There's no problem. If you want to sell it for 20 ren, sell it. But don't bluff people that it normally sells for. Or tell person that I bought it for so much, I'm hardly making anything. Meanwhile, he's speaking lies about the price that he's buying it for. All these things constitute deception. We have to be extremely careful when we're doing business that we do it clean. If you want to sell a product, as I mentioned, sell it for whatever price we want to sell it. There's no harm in doing that. Obviously, we must consider the public that is buying, consider their financial status, etc. Don't just mark up everything and make it difficult for the poor. That is also not in keeping with the deen of Islam. The spirit is that we help others. We want to be of benefit to others. We can make some profit, there's no problem. But at the same time, consider who we are selling to. If they're poor people that we're selling to and we're marking the prices right up, then what are we doing? Are we helping the poor or are we making it more difficult for the poor? The next hadith on Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, anna Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha anin najash. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade deceiving others by pretending to purchase merely to raise the price. This hadith is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif and Muslim Sharif. وعنه قال ذكر رجل لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه يخدع في البيوع وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من بايعت فقل لا خلابه متفق عليه. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma narrates that a man said to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم that he was often deceived in business. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when you engage in any transaction, say these words, la khilaba, let there be no deception. During the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a man by the name of Habban ibn Munqid, who had some form of mental weakness. He couldn't understand the prices, etc. Well, you get people like that. They're generally weak as far as the business is concerned. They don't know prices. Anybody can tell them any price and they'll accept it. They're not too wise as far as business is concerned. So he was one such person in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to advise all those that he transacted with that do not deceive him in any way because he did not have much knowledge in such matters. The narration in Bayhaqi and Daruqutni continues, you have then a choice of 3 days for any goods you purchase. If you are happy, you may keep them. He remained alive till the era of Uthman radiallahu anhu. Whenever he would buy something and it was said to him, you paid too much for it, he would go and he would return it. Why? Because at the time of doing the deal, he said, la khilab. La khilaba, that let there be no deception. The Sahaba was so genuine, so pure. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him to say that, when later on he would make inquiry that I paid too much for it, because at that time he didn't know when he bought it. But if he was told that you paid too much, he had this option of returning it. So his sahabi would testify to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he had granted him choice for 3 days and the seller would then refund him. So this is the choice that he had. Allah Pa give us also this. Is when you know a person doesn't have that knowledge, doesn't have the sufficient amount of understanding, then he should not be taken for a ride. We should actually help him. That this is my brother, this is another person, another human being. Let me help him, never mind to make the correct price. Not that I skin him and then I get happy for what I have done. From this also we learn that people who come to know of a person's weakness or lack of knowledge in a particular field should not deceive him by overcharging him. If a buyer stipulates the condition of choice at the time of purchase, then he has the option of returning the item and being refunded in full. Person at the time of buying it, he requests for a choice, the choice that if I'm not happy with it, give me the option of returning it. So that option will remain there. This person will have the choice of returning it. He purchased it with the choice of returning it. And this return period must also be stipulated, so there's no misunderstanding that I'll have the choice of returning it within 3 days. So he has a look at it, he sees it, he's not happy with it, and he can return it. So this is also one beauty part of our Sharia. Person has the choice. But obviously now if the goods are damaged, or now there's something that has happened to it, whatever, he doesn't have it any longer, then he can't, the choice also will fall away with that. One last hadith to finish off this chapter. Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, man khabbaba zawjata imri'in aw mamlukahu falaysa minna, rawahu Abu Dawud. That Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the person who incites another person's wife or incites his servant is not of us. What is meant here is that sometimes you'll find a person, so the first part is he incites someone else's wife. Sometimes, or husband, you'll find a marriage that is going very, very nicely. The person is happily married and he's continuing. And then somebody will come into the home and they'll speak to the wife and say, hey, you have to cook on Saturdays and Sundays also. In our house, we don't cook on Saturdays and Sundays. Your husband is such an oppressor. He's making you cook all the time. Now, what happens to the wife? She was happy to cook. There was no problem. Another woman came there, and what she did? She incited her against her husband. That, hey, he's making you cook, and he's such an oppressor. My husband takes us for holidays every December. Where are you going for holiday? So now the poor woman says, I'm not going for holiday. So she gets saddened. Now what is happening? Slowly, slowly, it's affecting the marriage. One third party came in, it's inciting, but inciting in this type of manner is running down the husband and making it seem as though she is in a very bad position. Now she starts thinking that, hey, my husband is really bad. So what she has done, she has incited between husband and wife. Or the second part of the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the person who incites another person's servant is not of us. You see how your boss is treating you. That he should be giving you more food or more meals. And look at your living conditions, it's so poor. Look at this room you're staying in, it's not painted. Now what happens to that servant? Now he automatically starts thinking bad about his boss. Whereas there was no problem before that. One person came and incited. Now this happens a lot, especially in the business field. Sometimes he's speaking. Person is happy. For example, he's getting a wage of 10,000 a month. He's happy with his salary or his wage. And now he's sitting with his friends and others are saying, hey, you're getting paid too little. Look for another job. Or tell your job boss you want an increase, otherwise you're going to leave from there. Now meanwhile this person was happy, he was content, the boss was happy with him, he was happy with the boss. What happened? Somebody came and incited. Now this is not something that is liked at all in Shariat, because what we're doing is we're creating problems where there was no problem. So therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the person who incites or corrupts another person's wife or servant, corrupts in which way? By inciting. Then this person is not from us. He's not from us. So some points to quickly remember under this. Mentioning to her the evil qualities, mentioning to the husband, to the wife, the evil qualities of a husband, so that she starts rebelling against him. One example. Or mentioning her the good qualities of another man, so that she starts regarding her husband as inferior, and she starts developing hatred. So the woman comes there and she says, you know, my husband, this is what he does for us. And my husband, this is what he, where he takes us. And my husband, this is how he treats us. So now, she's speaking good about another man in front of this person's wife. Now she starts developing hatred for husband. Why? Because she feels, I'm not getting all these privileges. Or mentioning to her that the husband has more wealth than, and she, that he shows her, so that he demands more from him. You know, I know your husband got a lot of money. He's only giving you 2,000 rand a month or 1,000 rand a month to spend. I know your husband got a lot of money. What you must do is you must demand, and you must tell him you want more, otherwise you're going to go away. Now this is what happens. He's creating or inciting the wife against the husband. And corrupting the servant, as we explained, encourages him to leave the master, causes harm to him, and so forth. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. So we'll be careful, especially when you're speaking to employees. But don't make them despondent. Sometimes it happens, person wants to poach and he wants to get that employee, so now he starts inciting him against his boss, so that this person now feels tempted to leave, and then he offers him a job. All this is not encouraged in Shariat. In fact, we are told, we'll find as we do, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we probably will still come to it, that we are told not even to incite one animal against another animal. Here we don't see it too much, but in India and other places you will find that one person will have a big snake with him. Snake, and he'll have a monkey, for example. And he'll incite the snake and the monkey to fight. And everyone will come and they'll give some money to look at this. So this is not permissible. Or you find fight in a bull ring, where bulls are incited to fight against each other. Even inciting one animal against another animal is against the teachings of Deen. It's against Islam. It's impermissible to do this. So imagine in Islam we are told, don't incite one animal against another animal. How can we incite one person against another person unnecessarily, where there is absolutely no need? May Allah Ta'ala protect us, may Allah Ta'ala save us, and allow us to practice upon our deen correctly. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.